time to return to the Rush Satellite Studios. Call 433-1037 or hit us up on the Keith Lee Service Company live fan feedback. Now, it's time to return to the show with no name with Tommy Smith, David Basil, and Roger Scott.
I'm pumped this hour. Matter of fact, I've been pumped all 4 hours today. I don't know what's wrong. I must smell a nap. Our guest is, we have many of them in the studio, but I have to because you weren't my idol because I was too old for you to be my idol, but I was really big. I was just getting started in radio when this man was quarterback with the first Ken Hatfield year when they ran the flex bone. And I think your freshman year and maybe your junior year, I know your freshman year.
He played as a freshman, yeah.
You shared time with Tom Jones.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And the stories of their activities on and off the field are one of, well, it's Razorback lore is what it is. But number 16 to number 25 became, that 1 year, I think Shebess caught about 50 passes, didn't he?
He caught everything he threw at him.
Yeah.
Good or bad at him.
Yeah.
So he did good.
Hangover or not.
Yeah, he caught him.
Brad Taylor's here, and I got to tell you, I was always a Brad Taylor fan. As a matter of fact, when we started, I said earlier today, we started picking out, because we're headed towards the dead time of sports. I mean, there's nothing but baseball. I mean, you don't have the NBA, the NFL, trauma. There was always something in college football, none of that to talk about. Of course, we could be like other shows and continue to talk about the new coach at the University of Arkansas, and I ask you about that. But we started asking people who were their favorite number, 15, 16. Number 16, the only ones we could come up with were you and Mustang.
That's right, and I did go visit Coach Nutt one time when I was up there talking to him on his couch. I said, we're going to bring your number out, and he said Mitch Mustang was going
right
to wear it. So I think that's –
Well, now, where did you get 16? Why did you choose 16? Do you have an idol?
No. I was number 10 in high school.
Oh, I didn't have 10 at – who had it?
Scott Reed.
He's now the coach at El Dorado. He's won three state championships.
Well, that's why I called him the other day and asked him what he's going to do for an encore. But he'd been there longer than I have, and I wasn't about to ask somebody.
So you just chose 16 just because it was available.
I was given 16. I didn't choose. But anyway, I'd have been 16. I'd been the water boy if they'd wanted me to. So I would take anything they gave me.
My favorite Brad Taylor story is, I came up from Florida, didn't know who anybody was. And Brad was the least heralded of all the quarterbacks. You had Cal Cagney, and you had McCann. He had two names of two well-known quarterbacks, yeah. And so not many people.
Now, this was the brother of Ron, right?
That's right. Mark Calcagni. And then, of course,
Lance McCann.
Lance McCann. Lamar or Lance?
Lamar was the daddy.
Yes, yeah. Lance McCann. So all of a sudden, I start hearing, and I said, man, this guy from that, it was Danville.
There you go.
I said, man, he could throw it like a freaking rocket. And so that was, even the receiver's like, man, this guy's going to burn your hands up. And one thing led to another. Before it was all said and done, you were playing your freshman year. And those two guys, Mark got some playing time. Mm-hmm. Lamar, I think Lance transferred.
Transferred, yes.
So, the little guy from the smallest town had the strongest arm of anybody.
Well, like I said, when you're from Arkansas in a little town like that, just getting the privilege
to
go up there
and play.
That's a great
story, a small school like that, to be able to go up there and become a starter.
Played under Holtz and Hatfield.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah. And like I said, I would have been the water boy if they'd let me. That was always my dream. So I just got lucky.
They could say what they want to about Hatfield and how boring, three yards in a cloud of dust, and he got that rap, especially towards the end. They didn't throw the ball very well. But when you guys ran that flex bone that first year, that was a pretty efficient offense.
I thought it was. Of course, I had that deceptive speed. I looked like I was going a lot faster than I was. It kind of threw everybody off. So that saved me my senior year.
I remember one of the memories, and I think Basil played on this team when you guys played down at Texas, and it was storming and raining.
Almost came back and won.
Came back to Texas, got up big, and what's his name? Who was their
senior? Luters.
Jamie Luters got tackled on the 5-yard line.
Great comeback. Those last 2 years, I don't know if you remember this stat, Brad, but in 84 and 85, Hatfield's first 2 years, I'm pretty sure this is right. We never lost a game by more than 7 points if we lost a game. Every game was within seven points.
Close.
I mean, that's 2 years. That's pretty amazing that you're going to lose a game, but every one of them were that close. Yeah, of course, we were 10-2 in 85 and 8-4-1, I think, in 84.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think Hatfield's one of the more underrated coaches. He didn't have sizzle, but he had team control, team unity. He didn't rely on profanity. I'm sure he had assistants that probably did.
A few of those.
Did he have a sick 'em dog?
He could still get on your butt.
I know.
Good.
Holtz could ride you.
I still got half of my butt still gone. That's why Coach Holtz lips right now, because he's got half of my rear in his mouth. So
I think of it because those are two distinct different styles of coaching, which is kind of what they're looking at now. Like you go from the hard-ass detail is everything Bobby Petrino to what they're calling, some people are calling, the players coach, if you will, John L. Smith. Is that
yeah,
the case?
I think that's probably a fair if you look at it from this. You know, of course, Hatfield, there was still a fear factor with Hatfield, even though he's a nice guy. I mean, he had a little edginess to him. He was more of a players-friendly guy than what Holtz was, but there was still a little bit of edginess to Hatfield that he expected you to play your butt off.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't see him smile that much.
That's what I'm saying.
It wasn't like he was out there.
He was much friendlier to approach than Hlou.
Respected him as a coach. He was the coach.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he's much better today at dealing with people. I mean, he has had a complete personality change. I mean, he shucks and jives with me. So he's
about who? Hatfield? Yeah, he's relaxed. He didn't have to worry about, you know.
I played in a charity golf tournament with him in Bentonville or somewhere up there. And I saw him coming, and I walked over to him. Yeah, we hugged each other, and I said, where was that 10, 11, 12, 15 years ago? but like I said, yeah, you're right. He's of course, all coaches relax a little bit after they get out of the game. It's a lot less pressure.
Yeah. Now, he went down to Rice for a while, but I was actually in Colorado Springs when he replaced. Do you know who he replaced at Air Force?
Who?
Bill Parcells.
Really?
Ken Hatfield replaced Bill Parcells at Air Force, and I was living out there at the time, so automatically fell in love with him.
And I didn't know this. He told me, like I said, when I was in high school, he said he sent me some letters and called my high school coach when he was in Air Force to recruit me.
Oh, is that right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Because he did well out there, and if you'll remember, Air Force turned it around for 10, 12, 13,
yeah,
14 years.
Oh, yeah.
I don't forget who
took Hatfield. They beat Notre Dame several times. Yeah.
They got to some bowl games. And if you get to a bowl game and you're a service academy, pretty big
deal.
Crazy Mike says he has a Brad Taylor story.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Mike.
Up, Mike?
Hey, when I was in high school back in the 80s, in 1980, you had two teams in Class A ball. You had Danville and you had Bismarck. You remember that, Brad?
Lord, I can barely remember it, but I do.
Well, listen, I got this story. Bismarck and Danville were the teams in the playoffs. We ended up with Bismarck, and we beat them somehow. So the next week, we go down to Danville, and all 24 of us pile off the bus and get on the field, and then there's Danville with 60 or 70 players out there, and they got their can opener out and opened that can of wolf ass on us. And The funny thing about it was my dad was standing on the fence during the game, and there was an older gentleman standing beside him, and the guy asked my dad, he says, "You have a son playing?" He says, "Yeah, I have a son playing on the Jefferson Prep team." And my dad asked him, "Do you have a son playing?" He said, "Oh, no." He said, "I'm from Hope, and I'd heard y'all had a pretty good team, and I'd also heard that Brad Taylor was a really good punter, and I figured y'all might be able to hold him to a fourth down because I'd like to see him punt, but apparently that's not going to happen." So he leaves, and they never punted. And I'm telling you right now, back in those days, I'm telling you, Danville could beat a lot of teams.
Well, I appreciate that. I think we did punt, though. I don't think we were that good, but I appreciate that.
Y'all didn't punt against us, I can guarantee you.
You ever get a chance, you need to run over to Crazy Mike's. The crawfish is to die for if you like crawfish. I suck those babies all day long. And
oh,
the
they
catfish
are good.
It's good stuff.
You guys have a good day.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Crazy.
Now, what brings you here today to the big city?
Steve.
This is
third year in a row, right?
This is our third year, guys, for the dinner with Razorbacks. It's a fundraising dinner for the Kagos Women's Unit of the Wilbur Mills Center. Last Friday when you guys were up in Searcy, I talked David into coming out and taking a little tour.
Yeah, he's still waiting.
Yeah, and you were not there.
He's out there, and I was gone. But
it was Jim.
Jim Clark.
What a great
Jim
guy! Clark. I was just telling the guys about him. He's the guy who was in business for himself and gave up probably a chance to make a lot more money, but to help people. And the Kagos unit is the unit where pregnant women who are addicted to either alcohol or drugs or whatever, which hard to believe. You don't think about that. If you're addicted, you know, you can have babies still be addicted. And so that whole wing is just for that. So.
Absolutely. You know, there's 14 apartments there, and they're full now. But the trick is we're only funded for four of those. So my whole deal, and with Brad's help and other people's help, is to raise money so that we can continue that, because those mothers and those babies and those kids can be there for 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives those moms a chance to go to school or get a job, and gives those babies a chance to grow up.
You're talking mostly younger girls?
Oh, yeah. They're all in their 20s and 30s. The kids are – we have babies there, and we have kids that are up to 12 years old.
And you guys, in addition, you—it's just now you have to treat addiction issues, but you also have mental health folks and social issues there that you deal with well at Wilbur Mills.
Yeah, Wilbur Mills is a big place, and I know that probably the first time you saw it, David.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's
well, you
big,
serve 20 counties. You serve 21 counties, so you think about that. When they have issues, they're looking for a place they can send somebody who needs help. They'll call your place and can we put them there?
That's right. So it's a huge place, and that you know, there at any one time over the whole campus, there are probably 200 people there.
Hmm. All right, give them the dates. The date.
Date is May the 11th. It's at 7 o'clock. It's at the on the campus of Hardy University at the Heritage Building. It's in the Founders Room, and Senator John Bozeman will be there this year, too.
Former Razorback, too.
Former Razorback.
I think he was an offensive or defensive lineman,
Yeah, he was an offensive lineman, played in that 69 Texas game.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Is that right?
Yep, sure did.
Did Brad get up and speak at this? You know, Brad
does.
We had him speak at the Touchdown Club. He did a real good job. Yeah.
Brad's a great speaker. He's got great Lou Holtz stories, which everybody loves, you know.
He's the only one of us guys that still has a Lou Holtz doll that played for Lou.
That's right. He's got a lot of pinholes. Got a lot of darts in him, but I still got it.
So is this place just for women?
The Kagos unit is.
Okay. But the whole Wilbur Mills.
Oh, yeah.
It treats everybody. And what addiction do you treat most? Drugs, alcohol? Which of those are about equal?
Right now, it's meth. The biggest drugs of choice right now are meth and narcotics, pills.
Prescription pills,
And there's very few old Alky's time.
Well, that's been on a rise.
I tell you what, it's been a year now, and I ain't going to lie to you. It's been a long year, and there have been some lonely afternoons, some long, lonely nights, and I still have them. And you need places like that for people to go.
No,
because,
absolutely.
Because they have dark days. You have dark days. I can't tell you how dark. Roger knows. He's been down the road of recovery. And when you're used to doing something that long, and you just, that's it. You quit. And I did. I quit cold turkey. That's it. And there were days I wish I would have gone up there just to talk to somebody.
Well, why didn't you, man? We would, and we still want you to come up and see us.
I was taking
a nap.
That's what we were talking about before you got back, about how Brad and I were talking about taking a nap. Brad says how sometimes I lay down. I don't get up to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't get up to 9 o'clock at night.
So how do people get into enroll? Like if I'm living in Searcy and I've got an addiction issue, do I just call up to have a doctor refer me? How does that work?
No.
And then how do you pay for it? And, you know, again, that's the other thing.
There you go. See, Mr. Mills, when we opened that facility,
he was alive when they opened it. I didn't realize he was alive in 93. Did you know that, Tommy?
Well, he died
right around the same time
before
you opened it.
Before we opened it, but he was there for our groundbreaking. Mm-hmm. But his deal was, you know, I want the best treatment center in the country, but I also want to be able to treat everybody, no matter if they can afford it or not. And I remember people saying, man, that's a tough order. You know, you want the best, but you want everybody to be able to get into our treatment facility.
Which is unlike I went to Betty Ford.
Yes.
And you got to have money or some kind of cash flow to deal with them. This is not like that.
Right. Now,
and it's great that you can have a politician or an athlete or somebody put their name on it, because when Betty Ford did that, she was scoffed at. It took a while, and then when it finally took hold, it's huge now.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it is.
And I thank God every day for that place and Frank and the people that made me go. Is there a fee? Is there payments? What's your deal?
Sure. Well, for people who are indigent, absolutely can't afford it, we're not going to turn anyone away. Now, if someone has income, has money, yes, you know, we have a fee.
You gotta thrive.
We have some state funding that's available through the alcohol and drug abuse prevention programs. But if they can't afford it, you know, they come into our facility, and when they leave, there is we'll bill them for a portion of that, you know, and they can pay it out $10 a month, $20 a month, however they can pay it.
Well, people need places like because
absolutely.
You'll be going along 2 weeks, and then you'll just have a day.
Yeah.
And I know people look at you, everybody has a bad day, but it's a different kind of
day. It's a different kind of day.
It's a different kind of dark day. You've been there. Roger's been there. And thankfully, David's, he'll be there in about 5 years. He just started drinking.
He's just started experimenting.
But he's just experimenting now. Anytime somebody's out and they're drinking nothing but shots, they're rookies, man. Watch this. And he'll just keep going. You're going, damn.
Yeah. I don't know how he does it. And he doesn't eat. I don't know. That's because he's not human.
He is an anomaly of science.
This is about Brad and Steve right now. Y'all, come on.
You know what? Maybe it's not.
Maybe it's not.
Maybe it's not.
Maybe we're having an intervention right now.
By the way, for those who don't know, what are you up to, Brad? What are you doing these days? You retired? You work? Are you farming? What are you doing?
I'm back on the farm, retired.
Okay.
Got a little girl's graduating.
Okay.
This year, that takes up most of my time.
What kind of farm do you have? What's on the farm?
Cattle.
Okay.
Well, we talked about this the other day. There's the laws are trying to get farm families not to allow someone 18 or under the age of 18 to work on your farm. How does that happen when? From the beginning of civilization, a kid, his chores were to go out and milk the cow or feed the pigs or whatever it is.
I didn't know that.
Did you not?
That's kind of crazy.
Yes, it is. They're trying to stop the 4-H clubs from informing and doing things.
I don't know how they can do that.
I don't either.
I don't know why they would do that.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
That was some of the best learning
of
kids,
yeah.
and discipline and
absolutely.
having a job and having responsibilities that you can have.
Absolutely.
You get up with a Strawberry Hill hangover and go out and pluck milk the cows and get the chicken eggs, you ain't feeling so good.
But, you know, like you said, that's your fault
because
the cows still got to be milked, they're still going to be there.
Right.
So, like you said, there's...
Didn't you do pigs, too? Didn't you have pigs
I had pigs for Tyson, yeah.
Yeah.
2,500 of them.
Wow.
2,500.
Now they're running wild in the southern
part of the state. Turn them loose and let them go. No.
Jerry, what's up?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Hey.
Brad, enjoyed watching you play. Basil also, and just wanted to call. I got a G-band for you. It's got a signature song that everybody knows.
What
once
is it?
You
what
play
is
the
it?
Beginning. How about the Georgia Satellites? Anybody mention these
I
guys?
I think you're probably right. Anybody doesn't know this one doesn't know the rock and roll. Anything else?
That's it.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Satellites.
Yeah, you remember the Georgia Satellites.
You know you're getting old when you come, song. You drive down here and you put your Sirius radio on the 70s and you know every song word by word.
Oh, that.
Then you go to the 90s, you're going, who is this?
What is that? Yeah.
What is that?
And that's 20 years old. It's like I watch episodes of Seinfeld now.
Oh, yeah.
And that show's been off the air for almost 20 years. it's like Andy Griffith. It stands the test of time.
Oh, yeah.
Josh can watch and still laugh at it.
Right.
But you look at that and they're like, God, that was 20 years ago?
Yeah. My daughter walks by and goes, what are you listening to? What are you watching? I mean,
I know exactly what you mean.
I know every word of every episode of Andy Griffith.
Child labor laws is what it is. A proposal by the Obama administration to prevent children from doing farm chores has drawn plenty of
criticism.
Well,
those kids will grow up being really good, productive citizens.
How about that? Yeah, you know what? That's all they want to do. They just want to give them a handout and tell them don't work anywhere.
They won't be lazy at all.
Not a bit. Not a bit.
When that happens, will it? No.
I didn't work on a farm and I was lazy. John, what's up?
What's up, Tommy? How y'all doing, man?
Sitting up here with number 16, waiting to catch a pass. I'm wide open over here. Come on, throw me the ball.
Brother, the fishing buddy told me to come up here and get his golf pass from him.
The fishing buddy?
Yeah, the guy that called, he wanted to go fishing. He turned him down. He said, hey, call up there and get my golf pass.
Well, now, you know, we can't have some sort of little network going on here. We got to be.
But where are you?
Oh, man, I'm in Jacksonville, brother. He told me to list the band, and I thought real hard, and I said, Simon Garfunkel. There we go.
Oh, you got Garfunkel in there.
Yeah.
You might need to run up there and see this treatment center. So you want to play golf?
Yes, sir.
RJ.
Tommy, I'll take you out.
RJ, can you fix him up?
I can do it, Tommy.
All right. Yeah, we got our new golf course is open back up, and I'm just tickled to death because it's just about my backyard. So I can get up and go play nine holes, take
after that
nap.
After your nap, get up and go play.
What should I do first, nap or golf?
You're probably going to need to go golfing first.
Think so?
Because
it makes
nap
a lot easier.
Oh, yeah.
And more enjoyable because you've done something. You've exercised out there.
That's how tired you are.
I've been up since 4:30. That don't sound right now. Right now it sounds like nap might be
I think nap first. Should come first.
You think nap should come first?
Nap and then golf.
Milk some pigs and feed the cows.
Milk some pigs.
Yeah.
I want to see that. There you go.
If anybody can do it, he can do it.
He can do it.
Got this little trick.
We probably tried to milk some pigs before.
Yeah, he made a movie once, as a matter of fact.
I think I rented that. He was pretty good in it.
whoa.
But you did see it.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff, what's up?
Good morning. I got a maybe a G band. I don't know if it's a band or not. How about Gordon Lightfoot?
That would be under the L's for Lightfoot.
Sorry. All right, I'll go Riff then. How about Dire Straits, Money for Nothing?
Dire Straits was in there, but I don't remember what.
You never got that diesel yet either, so I'm just throwing that out there again. And thanks to David for emailing me saying that since due to the major uproar from the farmers and the fact that the story went viral over the internet, Obama's Department of Labor has backed out of the farm bill. All right,
he's done something right.
He's done it, yeah.
Well, you talk about un-American. I mean,
it's un-American.
They already take half your money when you die, anyhow. I mean, come on, lighten up, would you? All right, Jeff, there's your Dire Straits, and we'll take one more before we break. Buddy, what's up?
Hey, Brad, what's going on? Buddy Babb from Russellville. How are you?
Buddy Babb. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm good. Good to hear from you. I hadn't heard from you in a couple years. Hey, a lot of people don't know this about Brad, but Brad is as good of a football player as he was. He's a scratch golfer, and I remember playing some basketball with him back in the mid-90s. He could shoot it in a thimble, so... Everything Brad does, he's
done. I had no problem shooting. It was don't throw it to Brad if you didn't want to get a shot. If somebody else wanted to get a shot, tell him go get a rebound. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, Brad. Good to hear from you, brother. Hey,
nice to hear from you, too.
The old Glenwood golf days.
Holy smokes. Play 67 holes a day. We just go till you dropped over there.
You had to tell me there was an adult beverage of some sort of 67.
Well, I didn't say it wasn't, but we played 67 holes of golf over.
Now, you come from... When Basil played, you guys were overachievers. That was a fun bunch to watch.
Oh, you probably said that's a good word to use, overachievers.
You I know, think
you
really
had
did.
A slow quarterback in myself, and
I think Basil was an overachiever.
No, Basil could run. Basil could play. Like I said,
but we weren't the biggest. Maybe not.
No,
we were well disciplined and played hard. Yeah,
Basil reminded me of who was the other guy? Like Cherico, that type of player.
I would rather have somebody like that's a little that had a bigger heart than somebody that Basil. There's seen up there too that couldn't fit through that door and couldn't hit a lick.
Yeah,
heart people you can't
play hard. Play hard and smart, and you're faster than a lot of, and stronger and better than a lot of the better athletes. Just depends. Yeah.
Would you write that down somewhere? Yes, I like that. Back in a minute. It is 9:33. Brad Taylor's here with us today discussing important things that are going on.
What do you call the event?
Well, it's called a dinner with Razorbacks. And, again, it's a fundraising dinner for the Kagos Women Junior of the Wilbur Mills Center. The tickets are only $25. You get a great meal. We have some really great silent auction stuff this year, too. We had a little golf store there in Searcy. A golf store in Searcy donated a Callaway Razor driver to us. I gave it to Brad, and John Daly signed it for us.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. So we got lots of neat stuff. We got football signed by Jake Beckett, and Brad will sign a football, and Clint Sterner, and Anthony Lucas, and Peyton Hillis.
David Basil.
They don't want my name on there.
Well, you've got to have your name on something.
Yeah, we do. We're going to have to. Yeah. And I was thinking, all kidding aside, you know, we need to get something.
Of course. Lucas up there last year? Didn't Lucas go?
Yeah. We'd love to have you this year, David.
Yeah, I'm going
to
try. I'm going to check on the date, May 11th.
It's May 11th, yeah. 7 o'clock, come up. We have a really, really fun time. And another thing that we do is I get sponsors to help us. And Coach Tim Harper, we bring his young football players, Searcy High School football players, you know, they get in free, and they get to hear you guys, and they get some good positive stuff. So I was out talking to him the other day, and his kids are really looking forward to being there. So
you hear some
it's
testimonies from the people that's been there. If that don't bring a tear to your eye.
What was the connection with Wilbur Mills and Searcy? Is that where he's from?
Wilbur Mills grew
he's
up
from
in Kensett.
And that's right outside.
You bet.
It's a suburb.
It's a metroplex, you know.
He's got a bust, a sculpture of Wilbur Mills there on the campus
right there.
We talked about one of the most powerful guys in the country.
Man in government. Yeah. I had a drinking problem and had to go away for a while, get it fixed, and turned out towards the end to be a good man. Not that he wasn't a good man. He was drinking. He was a happy man.
Was that the Fanny one?
Fanny Fox.
Yeah, Fanny Fox. Yeah.
I saw pictures of her as a youngster.
Yeah,
in the book.
Well,
let's just go. Listen, just goes to show you. 40 years later, You got Fannies, you got Jessicas, you got it's just
absolutely right.
Everybody that has a problem has that breaking moment. His was at the Tidal Basin with Fannie Fox. Mine was out on the interstate. And it's a flashpoint where you're going to go one way or the other now.
That's right.
And he was in a position where he could go the other way, and he did. The Betty Ford, the list is long.
Uh-huh.
I got to ask Brad Taylor, who is the craziest guy you ever played with?
Oh, I know who it is. Come on, think about it.
You're not going to say Mike Erie.
That's what I say. That's exactly what you can
say. But like I said, I've told this story 100 times. I was a right-handed quarterback. When you turn your back, left guard, left tackle, there wasn't anybody else I wanted on that side, because I promise you, he would bite them, he would tackle them, he would do anything. They wasn't going to hit me in the back.
Who's this?
Mike Erie.
A guy named Mike Erie. He was absolutely crazy.
And he was one of those overachievers. And like I said, he was crazy, but I promise you, when you had somebody to count on and turn your back opposite way.
And you played with, listen, you had guys, you had Alfred Muhammad,
my freshman year, you had a great offensive line. Jay Beckett,
yeah.
Steve Court, Alfred Muhammad, Ron Trusty.
Yeah, that was
I'm going to tell you, there's some studs up in that bunch.
Yeah. And Court at the time was the strongest guy in the country.
Bench pressed 600 pounds at the time, and
he's a freak.
He was just.
He went on the NFL, had a good
play for the Saints.
When we beat Texas, my freshman year, we beat them.
Kenneth
Sims and him was the big matchup all week long. Strongest man in college football against the best defensive player. I went in. I went over behind Jay Beck, and I looked over at Kenneth Sims and looked at his hands. Coach Holtz told me before I went in, he said, if anything's rolling around that field, it better be your head. I said, down said hut. I backed out of there, and I left everything hanging there, ball and all, and got out of there.
Yeah, he was a giant. He was a giant of a game. He was the number one player picked in the NFL draft.
I thought he was going to
kill
me.
Had a bust of NFL career,
though. Steve Court picks the ball. He recovers it, thank God. Picks the ball up and said, I'll keep him off of you. And they
didn't have a prayer that day. We were, you know, they fumbled the first two or three times they touched the ball.
Rainy, stormy.
Yeah, it was. They couldn't even fly into Fayetteville. They had to fly into Fort Smith to take the bus up the hill. So in their psyche, they were probably already out of before they got there.
What are you as an old Southwest Conference guy? And I kind of miss those days. I miss going to a reunion arena for the tournament, packing the place with nothing but Razorback. Like, I kind of miss that, but that's history. Your thoughts on 20 years in the SEC now?
You know, the Southwest Conference, when we played Baz, that was the conference. Yeah, you know, that was the
– Texas, SMU.
SMU. You know, we had some great teams in there. But we did have one or two off weeks that you didn't play.
It wasn't a top-to-bottom league that was as competitive as the SEC.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You don't have no weeks off now. Everybody can be
– And I'll tell you the other difference – this is the only thing, too, I know coming from Florida is that – I hated to go to, like, the Astrodome, and there'd be 15,000 fans there. Right. We'd have more fans than that.
And they would be all for Arkansas fans.
Yeah, now you go to any game in the SEC, and you're going to have 85,000 fans almost no matter where you go, other than Vanderbilt maybe. Yeah.
They're getting to be pretty good too. So you'd have no off weeks, and you better bring your A game every time.
I remember watching you guys. I think it was a Gator Bowl. It was real foggy.
Foggy Bowl.
I was in Colorado Springs watching that game, and it was a high scoring affair, wasn't it?
We lost the game. So. It was back and forth. You had a pretty good game that game.
I remember you commented or somebody commented.
307 yards. Yeah. At the time, that was the record. Of course, that was 25 throws. We thought that arm was about to fall off. You throw 25 times in a week. Throw 25, that's a half.
Easy a half.
But anyway.
Your thoughts on Tyler Wilson?
You can say anything about Tyler if you want to. If I hear anybody say that he's not very tough, I'll hit you right between the eyes. That's got to be one of the toughest guys I've ever seen.
Well, there you go.
Did you see him last year?
I'm going,
where's the other guy getting warmed up? Because he ain't getting up.
Yeah,
he pops right back up, doesn't say a word.
He took against Alabama. It was classic.
Oh, yeah.
You can say anything you want to about him, but he's one of the toughest kids I've ever seen. Because I got hit a bunch, and I know what he's going through, but I'm going to tell you, he's – don't say a word, gets right back up and goes to huddle and plays.
They just showed, I just happened to look up at the TV, and on ESPN, they already had Mel Kiper talk about the 2013 draft, and the first thing I saw was a picture of Tyler Wilson. They showed him. So, obviously, they're projecting him. Although, they're like, listen,
him,
when they talk about the
Heisman,
there's like five quarterbacks that they haven't heard mentioned ahead of him as well. So, he's tough.
It'll come down to two games. I've said that if they beat Alabama, I think they'll go undefeated.
Well, you know, Arkansas, we had three players go in the top four. Anywhere, it was third and fourth round had Beckett and then the two receivers. you know, when you look at LSU and Alabama, they had five on each team going first two rounds. Yeah. I mean, that tells you something. Yeah. And they're going to have that same bunch.
Oh, LSU, LSU
just
back,
like that
LSU,
next year.
LSU,
so, yeah, sure, you're talking about it. Tough competition.
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah. But, however, there was a statistic sheet that came out yesterday that showed four- and five-star athletes when they went into high school and how that number had dwindled to half that actually got drafted, that they just right. didn't pan out. They said that a half of these five-star, well, they said like 37% of these have some sort of emotional issue, like they're bigger than the parade or something
well,
like that.
Like, and Basil will tell you the same thing. I saw too many high school All-Americans come up there and never hit a lick, and I've seen too many walk-ons come up there and be All-Americans.
Yeah.
You can't tell a player until he puts the pads on, go out there and play.
Yeah.
I mean, you can look. You
well,
can,
the
everybody
old saying
looks
is,
good on driving
you
range.
Look like Tarzan, play like Jane.
That's right.
You know, that's
everybody looks
deal,
good on the
you
driving
know.
Range. You know.
No, they don't.
Well, okay. But, I mean, you can't tell until you put the pads on, go out there and play. I mean, like we were saying a while ago, you can't measure the heart.
All right, your thoughts of the month of frustration, and just the month of April was just a throwaway month for the University of Arkansas. Your thoughts on all that?
Well, I hate going all the way back to when he's in Louisville.
Yeah.
You know, he was supposed to – I'm here to coach. Well,
right.
Apparently he was going out and trying to get another jobs. That ought to be a red flag. Then he goes to it and he says, I'll be here, signs a new contract, and leaves to go to Atlanta.
Right.
13 games in, he's leaving notes, quitting.
Right.
Then we hire him.
Right.
I mean, great coach. Don't get me wrong. He's a great coach.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just don't know. And like I said, I feel sorry for the kids. I felt sorry for him for about that long.
Yeah.
But that was about the extent of it because that was his fault. And – you know, everybody's got to remember he had assistant coaches. He's got families. He's got
I don't know if he
realized that's how much responsibility he had.
I have no idea. I have not heard a word from him
just
since
selfish
it, I haven't seen
just
him.
Like
haven't
drugs and alcohol. It's all selfish.
Well, yeah, you
you're
get,
exactly right.
Sometimes you get too big for the church. You think you're bigger than the whole thing, and I think that you got to have that as a quarterback, as a football player. You got to have some of that.
You got to have arrogance. You're right.
Yeah.
All good head coaches do, but there's a fine line of just having arrogance and thinking you're above everything else, and whatever you do is going to be just fine. They're not going to do anything to you. And like you said, Mr. Long,
I like
I'm sure he sat there that whole night before he had his speech trying to give him a way out.
Yeah.
And there wasn't none.
Yeah. So the remedy is temporary. What do you think, Johnny L? Do you know anything about him?
I really don't. And I, like I said, I was hoping to do this, just get interim head coach. I think our kids will be just fine. I think we'll play just fine. And
Tommy and I disagree strongly on the fact that I say, no matter who this coach is,
I'll say that for tomorrow.
Justin said it. Justin,
thank you, Akre.
What?
Akre sends
this is what happened with Coach Petrino.
This is what our boss sends down from the press box in the middle of fourth quarter. Man sues BMW for 20-month erection after bike ride.
I heard that on the radio coming
that could
in this
be,
morning.
That could be the culprit. That could be. That may be it. Anyway, I said that no matter who the coach is, we expect this team to be so good that the interim coach could win 10, 11 games that we should already win them anyway, and that the team could mask a sucky coach. And I say that he should not be given the job, even if he wins a national title. He should not be given the job.
And I think he's absolutely crazy. If you have a coach, you bring him in, he wins a national title, and you're going to show him the door, I just don't think
he didn't say show him the door. Did you?
Yeah,
no,
he did.
What are you saying? I don't want him to be the head coach. Don't want him to be the head coach. He should not.
They go 13-0. You don't want him being the head coach.
He's not. Those are Bobby's players still on that field.
You know what? Houston has had a great 2 years with Danny Ford's players.
Coaches has got to get him to play. I've seen too many good teams.
So what do you say? You think if he wins the same amount of games that if he only loses two games and goes to a BCS, does John L. Smith have the right to say, I want – well, he already thinks he's going to get the job anyway. He's going to be lobbying for it.
That's what he sounds like he does, but I don't think it's that wrong to give him a shot. I didn't say give him a 20-year contract, no out, and $50 million buyout.
Yeah,
right.
Give him a shot.
But I think the criticism that would rain down once you change coaches, because the next year they're not going to be that good.
Nope.
And they go 6-5 under this new coach.
You're going to catch it.
And you'll say, you just fired somebody that went 13-0. What were you thinking?
That could be at any school. And the people that real football fans are. That's just going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, you get rid of the cupboard's going to be a little bit bare. I mean, it's not going to be that way the whole time, unless you're unless you're Florida or Alabama, LSU.
Yep.
And we're getting there. Only had one player drafted,
and that's one of the reasons. So they walked in. It looked at you. That's why what's his face Muschamp walked into a situation maybe it was a little bit worse than
He was walking in saying this is Florida and we're gonna
roll the ball out there,
we're Florida, we're gonna win nine games.
As Randy Rainwater would say, the cut board was there.